Good afternoon. The NATO Secretary General is going to give you an overview of the NATO-Russia Council meeting and will take questions. Secretary General, please.
Good afternoon. We have just conducted a meeting of the NATO-Russia Council. It was a useful meeting with frank and open discussions. Ukraine was the first item on our agenda, and this is important because Russia's actions in Ukraine have undermined Euro-Atlantic security. Allies and Russia have profound and persistent disagreements on the crisis. There was not a meeting of minds today, but it was an opportunity to clarify our positions to exchange views on the crisis in Ukraine. Allies expressed the views that they set out at the summit in Warsaw. NATO allies do not and will not recognize Russia's illegal and illegitimate annexation of Crimea. We should all work towards the settlement of the conflict in eastern Ukraine by diplomatic and peaceful means. Doing this would allow Ukraine to develop from violent outside interference, and it would contribute to an overall improvement in relations between NATO and Russia. We then discussed military activities, transparency, and risk reduction. Everyone around the table has a responsibility to ensure that our relations are characterized by predictability, confidence, and stability. We have rules for military activities, both bilateral and multilateral. We have all worked hard to develop them over the years. We should respect both the letter and the spirit of those rules. Transparency and risk reduction is particularly important if we are to avoid incidents, accidents, and misunderstandings. So, in the spirit of transparency, NATO briefed Russia on the important decisions we took in Warsaw last week to enhance our security. Russia briefed on the steps they are taking. Russia also raised a proposal on air safety in the Baltic Sea. Allies will study this proposal carefully. I welcome that Russia has signaled that it wants to pursue risk reduction measures. This is something that allies have been advocating for a long time. So I look forward to further discussions on this issue with Russia. Finally, we discussed the security situation in Afghanistan, including the regional terrorist threat. Afghan security forces continue to do their job with remarkable resilience and courage. But challenges remain. I informed the Council about NATO's decision at the Warsaw Summit to sustain our military presence in Afghanistan beyond 2016, with approximately the current troop levels. I also reported to the NATO-Russia Council on our commitment to continue to fund the Afghan security forces until 2020. And I underlined that President Ghani and Chief Executive Abdullah at our summit in Warsaw reiterated their commitment to reform. For almost 20 years, the NATO-Russia Council has been an important forum for dialogue. It is an all-weather forum. Today, we had a very useful discussion. We addressed some of the most important issues on the Euro-Atlantic security agenda. This shows the value of the NATO-Russia Council. Dialogue is particularly important in the current circumstances. Our dialogue will continue. And with that, I'm ready to take your questions.
Yeah, Novosti.
Secretary-General Vladimir Dobrovolsky, Russian News Agency RIA Novosti. What will be the next step in your dialogue? Will it be the ambassadorial level meeting as now, or will it be a ministerial one? And will you consider some concrete document in relation to this risk reduction measures? Thank you.
We will have new meetings in the NATO-Russia Council, and we will address issues like risk reduction transparency, and we will now also look into the proposal put forward by Russia on air safety and also related to transponders in the Baltic Sea region. We haven't decided a new date for the next meeting, we haven't decided the format of the next meeting. What we decided in 2014, when we suspended the practical cooperation, was that we would maintain the NATO-Russia Council as a platform for political dialogue at ambassadorial level and above. But we haven't made any decisions about the formats of the next council meeting.
Channel 1, Russia. Don't you think it's illogical that NATO pays great attention to unreal Russian threat instead of, for example, dealing with real danger like ISIS?
NATO has to be able to respond to many different challenges at the same time. And at our summit in Warsaw, we made important decisions to continue to play a key role in the fight against international terrorism. We, for instance, decided to continue our military presence in Afghanistan. Our military operation in Afghanistan is our biggest military operation ever. And the reason why we are in Afghanistan is to fight international terrorism, is to prevent Afghanistan once again becoming a safe haven for international terrorists. We also decided to step up our support for Iraq, to start to do training inside Iraq, to enable Iraq to be stronger in its efforts to stabilize its own country and to fight terrorism. We also decided to do more when it comes to support from NATO to the international coalition fighting ISIL by providing AWACS support to the coalition. And we decided to work more closely with partners in the region like Jordan and Tunisia, building their capacity to fight terrorism and to stabilize their own countries. So NATO is playing a key role in the international efforts to fight terrorism, and we decided to step up our efforts at the Warsaw Summit.
BBC.
Yes, Secretary General Jonathan Marcus from the BBC. You've mentioned the discussion about and the Russian proposals on air safety, transponders, and so on. Was there any detailed discussion of Russian SNAP exercises and the need for notification and much greater transparency of short-notice Russian military activities?
Yes, we addressed exactly those challenges. And the thing is that we already have some mechanisms, some documents, which ensure transparency and predictability. And one of the main tools is the Vienna document, which regulate how exercises are announced, international observers, and the whole aim of that is to make sure that predictability, transparency, is in place when we conduct military exercises. Because we have seen that military exercises can be used as a disguise for aggressive actions. For instance, the annexation of Crimea took place so in connection with a SNAP exercise of Russia. So we strongly support those rules and those guidelines. The important thing is that they have to be respected, both the letter in the agreement, but also the spirit. And one of the challenges we have seen recently, or over the past years, is that Russia uses some of the loopholes in the Vienna document to conduct all the SNAP exercises, and thereby they also are able to undermine international inspections of the exercises. So we are strongly in favor of modernizing the Vienna document. And NATO allies have put forward in Vienna proposals on how to, for instance, address snap exercises in the Vienna document framework. This is, of course, not negotiated in a NATO framework. This is negotiated in the OSCE framework. But NATO allies are active, and they have put forward proposals to strengthen the Vienna document as a tool for transparency and risk reductions related to military exercises.
Süddeutsche Zeitung.
Daniel Brössler, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Could you tell us a little bit more about how the Russian proposals on risk reductions looked like regarding, for example, transponders? And second questions, I hear there was a proposal for military-to-military contacts. Is NATO in a position to agree to that, or would decisions have to be changed because this would be go beyond political discussions with Russia?
Russia proposed a way forward on how we can address issues related to transponders and air safety. We stated clearly that we welcome that Russia is ready to sit down and discuss air safety, transparency, and including transponders. But we also asked for more details. And I think it's up to Russia to describe the details of their proposal. But we welcome that Russia is showing more interest in these issues, and therefore we will also then look into the proposal and also ask for more details. I think it is important to understand that transponders, of course, is important, but it's only one element in a broader picture related to air safety and risk reduction, because the basic thing is of course safe behavior. Is to fly in a safe and professional way. And we have seen some examples of unsafe activity in the air by Russian planes busing a US ship in the Baltic, flying close to NATO planes. So the first thing is, of course, to just address the behavior of military aircrafts in the Baltic Sea. I would also like to underline that we are constantly looking into how we can make sure that the way we conduct our exercises and our military activities are done in the most, predictable and safe way, meaning that NATO planes routinely fly with the transponders on when they fly under NATO command in Europe. Different NATO allies have different practices, partly related also to exercises and some different operational reasons for not always turning the transponders on. Regardless of this, it is important to sit down, to look into the issue, and to find out how we can enhance air safety, especially in the Baltic region.
Agence France-Presse? No, Agence France-Presse, please.
Sorry, I forgot that was important. Okay. Military lines of communication, military to military lines of communication, they are open. What we discussed now in the meeting is how we can make sure that they are functioning and that they are used in the best possible way. And there we still have some way to go. So I also welcome that as part of the discussions related to transparency, risk reduction, air safety, also the direct lines of military-to-military communication is now very much on the agenda, and hopefully we can also enhance the way these lines of communications are working and thereby also using them as a tool to increase air safety and transparency.
So now we move to Agence France-Presse.
Secretary General, on these lines of communication between military-to-military contacts, what is hampering the efforts to try to revive them and to relaunch these contacts? And were there concrete discussions on how this could be improved? I've heard that the procedures were very heavy. and there's of course the political situation, but the and the military situation, but the procedures are very heavy. Have there been concrete discussions on how this could happen? And when do you think would it need another NATO-Russia Council to address the transponders issue and the air safety risk reduction issue in the Baltics, or can that be discussed in other fora? Thank you.
The issue of air safety, including transponders, which is one element of this broader picture, is something which absolutely can be discussed also in other fora. And I think also it is important to remember that NATO can play a role in Brussels, coordinating our positions, our understanding, related to processes which are taking place, for instance, in the OSCE context. So, for instance, one of the forums or platforms where it's relevant to discuss issues related to air safety and risk reduction is the OSCE, including the Vienna document. So therefore, NATO can coordinate at least the position of NATO allies related to processes and negotiations that take place in another format in Vienna, in the OSCE framework. And one of the reasons why that is relevant is that we partly have some tools, some documents and agreements already, and partly because the OSCE framework is broader. For instance, in the Baltic region, you have Russia and you have NATO countries, which are part of the NATO-Russia Council, but you also have Sweden and Finland. And Sweden and Finland are not part of the NATO-Russia Council. So that underlines the importance of also looking for broader contexts, like, for instance, the OSCE. Then ICAO is also an institution which has addressed air safety in different ways and is also irrelevant. So the issues of where we're going to address it, how we're going to address this, are exactly the issues which we are now looking into to find the best possible way to address these the air safety and transponder issue.
What's your journal?
Mr. Secretary General, the Russian government recently sacked a number of admirals in the Baltic Sea fleet. Have you seen any change in the dynamics in that region since this change? Did this come up in the meeting at all? And also related, as you're talking about transparency in this region, to what level of access, what level of reporting are you going to do about the battalions of to the Russians? What level of transparency on a day-to-day basis might you give them about your actions?
The question related to the admirals in the Russian Navy did not come up in the meeting, and it's not for NATO to comment on that kind of issues. We are transparent on our activities and our presence. We, for instance, we briefed on the four battalions we will have in the eastern part of our alliance in the three Baltic countries and Poland. The U.S. Also briefed on their presence, which complement the NATO presence, meaning the U.S. will increase their presence in Europe, and the U.S. briefed on that and increased presence with the European Reassurance Initiative, in addition to what we do in the NATO framework. We will, of course, brief and inform and invite international observers, including Russia, to observe our exercises according to all the agreements and standards for inviting international observers. And very often we also invite, even when we're not obliged to invite, when the exercises are not big enough to reach the thresholds, but we also invite very often to even smaller exercises. So we will be transparent. We strongly advocated this NATO-Russia Council meeting, where one of the main items was military activity, transparency, risk reduction, exactly to inform them directly and also be able to answer questions directly on our military presence in the eastern part of the alliance.
Last question, TV Poland.
Hello. I just wanted to ask you about the Russian, especially Russian reaction on your conclusion of NATO summit. What was this reaction, and how have you convinced Russia that it was not against Russia? And was there any discussion after your conclusion about NATO summit?
We had an open, a frank discussion, and the atmosphere in the meeting was good, but we didn't agree. Of course, we still see disagreements between Russia and NATO when it comes to the analysis, the assessments of why we are in the situation we are. For NATO, it's obvious that an increased or enhanced NATO presence in the eastern part of the alliance is something that is a direct response to the actions of Russia in Ukraine illegally annexing Crimea. Because before Crimea, before Ukraine, that was not enhanced NATO presence in the eastern part of the alliance was not on our agenda. So there's no doubt that that is something that happens after Ukraine, and it was Russia's actions in Ukraine that triggered the presence. But again, I think especially when we disagree, and especially when we see the tensions increases, and especially when we see more military activity and more or enhanced or increased risks for incidents and accidents, especially then it is important that we meet, exchange views, explain, clarify, respond to answers, and try to find ways to increase trust and to develop mechanisms, transparency, to avoid incidents and accidents.
Thank you for coming to this press conference. This is all we have time for.
Thank you so much. Always a great pleasure.